excited about this week. Sitting opposite me, Dylan Johnstone. You'd probably may have come across Dylan on Instagram under DYLANJA. He talks a lot of motivational stuff. He's very hypey at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's that Instagram account you can't open on the bus with sound on. I love it, mate. And the reason you're here today is you've created something really exciting in the space of tradies, the healthy tradie.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously it's called the Healthy Tradie and we're launching up within the construction industry, hopefully to go a little bit viral and change some lives.
Well, let's have a chat about that. And before you start, mate, like, what's your favorite product?
BSC Pre Ultra every morning.
I just love the pre, these boys, don't they? They just dig the pre.
It's honestly the nootropics. That's what I really like about it. So yeah. I hit it 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know you do. I watch your gym. Instagram.
climbing. By the time I finish, have a nice cold shower. It's a big slap in the face. And then I just don't really tend to drop back down from there. So I tend to go through the rest of the day with that high energy and really sharp focus. So
let's rip in and talk about some of the cool things you're doing.
Beautiful.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Pre-Ultra, an extreme high-stim pre-workout scientifically formulated for anyone wanting to push it further than they ever have before. A powerful combination of performance-enhancing and nootropic ingredients delivered at industry-leading dosages. Pre-Ultra gives you explosive power, strength, and intense pump alongside the laser-like focus, mental clarity, energy, and drive to annihilate your next workout.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, the home of fit, happy, healthy, and today we're going to talk a bit of muscle. We've got the big man in, Dylan Johnstone, and mate, he is here to talk about something he's created that's really special, the Healthy Tradie, mate. Let's talk about, what is a Healthy Tradie?
Healthy Tradie is a little initiative that we've brought on board, so obviously one of the big key...
With your employer, like you've done this with... And you work for a large group?
So I work for the Southern Program Alliance down in Victoria, and we're currently removing all the level crossing removals down
What does
there.
That mean?
So all these level crossing removals where the trains go across and the boom gates come down.
Oh, yeah.
So they've identified about 52 of them that need to be removed because people keep getting stuck. It's a massive job, so it'll probably go for about the next 6 years.
And you're working in the health safety advisor capacity there?
Yeah, so I'm a health and safety advisor down there, so obviously managing workplace compliance and obviously looking into that health aspect.
So you started this Healthy Tradie program internally and it's sort of got a bit of a swell going. It's growing?
Yeah, so we're creating a bit of a culture on our project, which is really good. So normally there's a lot of focus on productivity and we're taking a big step away from the workers, but we've decided to move into the health and wellbeing space and really push this as a good initiative to look forward to improving the workers' performance out there.
So, mate, what's some of the things you're doing? And I know you sort of fluked into this with, I remember ASM was doing their 30-day greens challenge and we were having a chat and you said, oh, can you send me some greens? If I remember correctly, is this sort of how it all happened?
Yeah, so being from the fitness background I do have with bodybuilding and stuff like that, I've got a big passion for the health side of things. So working in the construction industry, you notice a lot of people don't really value that at all. So it was about trying to slowly introduce that and... small stepping stones, I guess, into that space of giving people exposure to the health.
You've been very humble there. I'll tell you how it really went down. We were having a chat and he said, can I get some greens, mate? And I said, oh, look, how many guys you got on your site at the moment? I'm sending down some greens for everyone. He goes, I need 9 bags. I'm going, okay. Next thing he sends me pictures, he's lecturing 300 people on the benefits of taking greens every day. And you actually worked out 9 bags. You had enough serves and your bosses saw you doing that. And it really, I mean, you look physically like you're training, you're into fitness and health and everything, but your bosses actually went, oh, hang on, there's more to this than this guy just eating protein and lifting weights.
Yeah, so I think it was about 450 people at the seminar.
450?
Yeah, and I was super nervous.
You would have been shitting bricks that day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't normally get nervous, but when you're standing in front of 450 people.
Of your peers too.
Yeah, and you look like just little ants out there and you're just staring into the distance and you're like, oh.
Did you picture them all nude?
No, someone told me to do that and then I was like, oh, best not. Might get distracted.
Yeah.
So, so we jumped on board, did a little spiel and then obviously people saw the value behind what we're trying to push there as a team. So I've got some really good people that are working with me and we're just trying to really push this along and really focus on the health side of things, which will tie into the mental health a lot.
And
later.
Mate, it sounds like you've got some really progressive thought leaders in your business above you that are working to make this happen too. You've talked to me about you've created some internal training programs and challenges. You've worked with us with Harriet, the dietitian, in creating some programs that you're going to roll out to on a much bigger scale in that corporate world.
Yeah, so we're obviously trying to trying to put a massive focus on the health side of things. As I said, I think health side of things is more of a solution to the problem that's identified within the construction industry, being the mental health related illnesses. So if we can target this, I think that we will fix a lot of people's mindset and perception on a lot of things in life. So I've got a really good manager who supports me and supports my decisions, and we're just doing our best to try and bring on board a lot of people. But obviously trying to influence the construction industry takes some time, because a lot of these people are new to change, and change management's one of those things that's always very, very hard to push within any field or any industry.
Oh, mate, and you're talking, you know, thousands of employees, et cetera, in the whole group. You know, it's a big gig to suddenly, and what are you, 23 or something? 23-year-old telling these guys that they need to get fit and they need to change their lifestyle. They're looking at you going, yeah, mate, you got youth on your side. I used to be like that. I mean, if they all look back at their pictures, they weren't. But it's a real interesting thing for you to talk about, because you've created like a, do you want to explain what a lunchbox program is? Do you want to explain like what you've put together?
Yeah, so it's a slow introduction. So obviously with change management, it's like anything, you can't just go in and change the entire workforce overnight.
Can't make people want to be like that either.
No, yeah. So you need to slowly introduce things, and you have to get people behind it and educate that process so that they're wanting to go out there and they're wanting to make that change themselves. So this lunchbox idea was about making healthier alternatives in the workplace. So normally what we do is we get together once a week and we'll have pies and sausage rolls and stuff like that. So currently at the moment we're doing a 10-week challenge. We've got like 52 people on board. It's like the Biggest Loser essentially. And to promote that, we're taking away all bad alternatives. So when we do events, when we have like big meetings, we've just made a straight cut to only healthy alternatives. So
you're looking more at fruits versus sausage rolls.
Fruits, yeah. Protein snacks, bars, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's where we've tied in with body science and really built that partnership to be able to give these guys healthy alternatives in the workplace.
I mean, I know that Harriet and myself and the team, we really enjoyed putting together some of the video content you wanted in relation to healthy thinking, healthy alternatives, healthy eating, because that's the stuff we live and breathe every day. We love. It was really interesting with doing that program with Harriet, because I didn't have to explain to her what the brief was, because she lives with a tradie.
Yeah.
She was all over. She goes, no, Greg, you've got this wrong. We need to do this. We need to do this. And I just went, wow, this is gold. And
yeah. And I think that's where we were able to leverage it very well. It's really hard to explain to someone who doesn't work in the construction industry what it's like, especially with the hours you do work and the pressures that are associated with that. Obviously with production, there's a demand just to make things happen. So a lot of these guys, they're taken away from those healthy alternatives because they just need to eat on the go. So having someone who can come on board and help us design something like that, who has an understanding, I think was the real big push for that.
That's good. And mate, and it's more than food, as we all know. It's a combination of everything. Like you've worked with the crew down there. You've started basketball teams. You've started a gym culture. What else have you done? You put a challenge together. I just heard a second ago, you put a challenge together to push each other. And I mean, it's not a challenge where people buy a pack and do all that. It's about challenging them to make a change. Like why are you doing this?
Like I said, there's a massive issue, especially within Australia, but a massive focus in terms of emergency services and the construction industry around mental related illnesses. So I think for us, you can sit there and identify these problems and have people come in and talk about mental illnesses, and that's really great, but it's not really solutions-based thinking. So we've got to take a leap forward in trying to do something about it. So I think what we're trying to do is move into that and build that community, build that support network, encourage physical well-being. And I think by doing that, we do eliminate some sort of mental illness within the workplace and help these guys get that confidence, get out there and continue on.
And mate, you've got a few confidence stories too, haven't you? Like a few guys have come to you and said, oh, my kid said this, and you know, a lot.
Yeah, it's been really rewarding, you know, like having a supervisor who's in their 40s come up to you and, you know, say, get excited to tell you that they've joined the gym and they went home and their daughter was like, oh, daddy, I finally joined, go daddy, you know, like just hearing that from men that have never really made that switch or that healthy alternative in life, very powerful. And I think that's where you get your value. You're always going to have people that do go to the gym and they are healthy, they are working out, but to have someone come on board who has never put themselves in that position and get excited about that change is very powerful.
And you've helped guys with programs and understanding how to do things and stuff. You've been really influential in that part.
Yeah, we're just trying to give as much value that we can to these guys and really guide that process. So, you know,
Guys and girls.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Like as I said, yeah, we've got some traffic controllers on board and, you know, they're really giving it to the guys. They're like, I'm going to kick your butt.
Yeah, nice.
So it's really good. You got a bit of friendly competition and that was the idea behind it. So with the 10-week challenge, we did up a poster and we did like the little characters. So like, I think we took like the dodgeball theme where you got average Joes and the serpents and stuff like that. And we named the subcontractors. So the guys build that little bit of rivalry between themselves. And I think when you do that, you create that community and people want to be a part of it.
Yeah, mate. Create the tribe. People love it. Like you sound like you're a 40-year-old. Let's be honest. gosh, you're 23. And just looking at your CV here, you left school, joined the army.
Yeah, so I was taken away from my parents when I was about 12. I grew up with my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit of a shit, so to say.
Yeah.
In trouble, got in trouble with the law a few times. And I think one day I walked into my grandma's room and my grandma was looking at the Defence Force and I was like, oh, what's that? She's like, don't worry, you can't do it. And I was like,
yes, I can.
I'm going to do it. So
how clever was grandma?
That was it. So yeah, so she tells me, she's like, I knew that you would be that kind of kid that would do it. So I guess I went there and I learned really quickly. I'd never really had like a father figure growing up. So to have someone come in there and give me that structure, give me that discipline, taught me a lot about life. And I think my relationships with my family grew a lot stronger after that because I valued them a lot more.
So how long were you in the army for?
In the army for about 2.5 years. So I ended up getting posted to Darwin. And it's one of those things where it's either it's for you or it's not for you. And I had an opportunity to come up where I moved into corrections, which is really good. So I had an opportunity to go out there and push
Darwin
myself
as well.
Yeah. So I got posted to Darwin. And then at the age of 19, I was.
So you were in corrections at 19?
I was, yeah, one of the youngest in Australia to go into corrections. So at 19.
That would have been daunting for a young man, wouldn't it?
Yeah. At first, it really was. When you're walking out into a floor full of like 46 of the hardest criminals in the Northern Territory, yeah, it can definitely be daunting, but you learn a lot about life. I learn a lot about a lot of different things. I was a hot-headed kid, and you don't think about things when you're out there drinking with your mates or you're with people. And when you put cuffs on someone who's 21 years old and they've just ruined the next 7 years of their life, it just makes you understand how important life is and how quickly your circumstances can change by a split decision.
Oh, mate, that's heavy. That's nice. So how do you go from the army and into prison officer into, let's get into health and safety.
So like this is actually a really good story. I got a phone call from one of my mates who worked in Melbourne, who was a superintendent, so pretty much like one of the big bosses down here. And I wanted to come to Melbourne and I was looking at trying to get down to Victorian Corrections, and it just wasn't working out. We had the Royal Commission going on at that time and it just wasn't looking good from anyone from Northern Territory to really go anywhere but stay there. So I got a phone call and he pretty much said, I've got a job for you. I asked him what it was. He said, I don't know yet. I said, how much does it pay? He's like, I don't know. And he's like, you've got a week. So I literally took the biggest leap of faith I've ever done in my entire life. I didn't tell any of my family because I knew they wouldn't support it, as a normal family probably would tell you. So I sold my entire house. I sold my car, packed up with my girlfriend at the time. And then I literally drove down to Melbourne and then just stepped into the unknown.
Wow. That's a big step.
Yeah, it was a very uncomfortable step, but I learned a lot from that experience. You know, that taught me a lot about life and a lot about going out there by yourself into the unknown.
You've had a lot of life stories. I mean, leading into your army, you were brought up by your grandma.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Into your job choices to your final job destination. Like, what drives a 23-year-old to make those big decisions?
I've always just wanted to push for more, you know, like always find a position where I get comfortable and I'm like, I can do more, or something comes up and I've got an opportunity to go and do something amazing. So I guess when these opportunities have presented themselves in life, I've kind of really gone, I've only got one shot at life. I really want to do this. So I want to make the most of it. I don't want to look back and go, I wish I didn't take that opportunity. So anytime like something comes up, I'll just run with it. And if it fails, it fails. I've learned. So
yeah. Mate, when does a bodybuilding career fit into all this? You're 23, like there's also a bodybuilding career in there and you've built Fair Rig. So
yeah, like I guess like for me being in the army when I was 17, I was like the smallest of the kids out of all the guys there, you know. I was
all
super
that good
skinny.
Army food.
Yeah, you just like shovel in and you know, like being young, you get sucked into it. So
was Brian Bailey your colonel in Darwin when you were there?
I wouldn't really remember the colonels. I didn't really speak too much then.
He's a good mate of mine. Good job, Brian. You've really left an imprint on people.
Look, to be honest, I didn't really
he's
have
the
to
one
do
standing
it.
At the front that you all used to face every day.
Yeah, he probably was giving me a lot of bad things to do. Yeah. So you can tell him I said thank you for all the exercise.
We try and do bad things to him now. He's a good man.
Yeah, so I just hated being the small kid. I'm a short guy and can't get taller. So I was like, if I can't get taller, I'm just going to get wider.
Nice.
So I was like, I want to walk into a room and people give me a bit more respect. So I guess that's where it all stemmed from. So I really started pushing myself.
Did you think that worked? I mean, your physique did, but do you think people gave you more respect from that?
I think the more, in some aspect people do, I think they respect what you're able to achieve because I understand the hard work it takes to get there.
Absolutely,
but I think as I get older, the more I realize, I think it's your energy and your passion that you do have that people respect. So looks aside, they do have an impact, but it's what you bring to the table. I think that is more
it's
important.
A package.
Yeah, it's a package.
You do a lot of competitive bodybuilding when you're...
Yeah, so I competed in IFBB for my division, placed twice in Australia. So sorry, placed second twice in Australia.
Yeah.
One in NABBA WFF and then obviously in IFBB down in Sydney. So that was a good little journey. I learned a lot about myself during prep. I really pushed myself really, really far. Probably made a few sacrifices that I probably shouldn't, but at the time, you know, these are all lessons learned.
Yep.
Took a step back away from family and my relationships at the time and put in a lot of energy and effort towards that vision of, I don't know, going to the Olympia or stuff like that. And, you know, you call in sick to go to the gym and all these things. They just
sick
add
to work.
Up. Sick to work, yeah, you know. And I see it now, a lot of people, you know, they want to be working hard and they want to be like going into like things 100. And when it comes time to prep, they take that focus off their own personal development and they really shift it into that gym space. And, you know, they'll miss
family. And
you've got
to do that
events.
To be a competitor, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah. It's a win-win, you know, you sacrifice a few things, but I guess it ties down to what your morals are and I guess where you want to be in life. I think for some things, it is important to do it if there is like a future in it. But I think for me, for bodybuilding, I had to be real with myself and say, you know, I'm not going to be a top 10 Olympia. And I think bodybuilding is one of those sports where you have to be really, really honest to yourself in terms of like, am I willing to spend the next 15, 20 years spending all my money on all these supplements, all these gym gear and trying to look the best and all these fake tans and shaving myself every week, you know, just trying to impress people on Instagram, you know, and you look at the Australian bodybuilding community, there's only a few people that have really kind of stepped out there and made a career for themselves in it. So you have to be real with yourself and you have to assess the situation and whether that is actually something that's plausible.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Nice. Mate, you're a big fan. You often send me DMs going, Greg, what are you thankful for? Greg, you know, what's, you know, really positive stuff. Where do you draw all that from?
I think you are what you create. So there's a thing I talk about, your artificial environment. So something I push really, really hard for a lot of people like myself, the people that are around you every single day, they're not motivated, they're not people that are driven, they're not successful. So I think exactly what I tie back into before, like, you are what you create. So when you can go out there and message people and create that, what I call the artificial environment, you surround yourself by that content. So by going out there and sending messages to these people, you build those relationships, you build those networks and you're constantly seeing positive thoughts. So when you reply and you're like, I'm thankful for this, you know, just puts a smile on my face and then it makes me think about what I'm thankful to as well. And it's the same thing with anything else, you know, you send a video to your friends or your mates and you're like, hope you're having a good day, like up excited 4 o'clock in the morning, going for a run, you know, like you just uplift each other. So that's why I call it an artificial environment. So it's something that you can create. You create what comes in rather than your direct surroundings.
Yeah. So, mate, 23, I'm going to harp on that all day. Just, you've got a process you do every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's very visual. If anyone follows you, they know what you do every day. But can you just go through your mornings? Like, they're pretty intense.
Yeah. So I wake up in the morning and then obviously my alarm goes off and then...
What time are we talking?
4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock every day, which, you know, the dedicated gym guys... Girls know that.
But yeah. And then Sarah, my partner, she's like, no, not again. So she's been really supportive and stuff like that. And it's been a bit of a team effort. So I get her on board.
It's got to be a team effort, mate. 100%. Life is a team effort, yeah.
So, you know, she doesn't necessarily want to get out of bed as quick. Obviously in Melbourne, it's pretty cold. So that's where the dogs come in handy. So the moment you say walk, they get super excited. On, yeah. So it's all over.
So you're walking the dogs at 4 o'clock every morning?
Yeah. So every morning, 4 o'clock, straight up, I have my BSC Ultra Shred.
Yeah.
Get ready and go for a quick run. And then I go for a run for about half an hour, get back at 4:30, get straight into it, get dressed for gym, take 2 scoops pre-ultra.
3 scoops deep by 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's why I'm full of energy. So just buzzing, high energy and just positive thoughts. I think like
And how
so
you, are you training to positive thoughts? Like, is that your thing when you're at the gym or are you, what are you, how are you training?
I think I created that artificial environment. So at first, you know, I was the only one of my friends waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but you know, now I've got a little community of people that are waking up at 4 o'clock and they're just sending me messages of like, I hope you're out there killing it and stuff like that. So when you're seeing these messages, when you're getting these videos from your friends and your peers in this little community about being out there grinding, you just, there's no way you can be tired at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, you got all
and
your support
taking
behind
gym
you.
Session and get the most out of yourself.
Yeah. So like by the time, you know, I get in the car, I drive half an hour to the gym.
Oh, do you really? Half an hour away?
Yeah. So yeah, I work about an hour and a bit away from home. So
you started your journey to work with a gym stop on the way. You don't go backwards?
No. So yeah. I drive straight to the gym. By then I'm like, the heat is on, I'm sweating and I've been rapping the whole way, just singing songs and just, you know, getting there. And then I just train for about half an hour, 45 minutes.
Yep.
And then I just go straight into back into my routine and my discipline.
There's a cold shower, somewhere. Where's that cold shower?
Yeah, straight after the workout, cold shower.
And what are you doing that for?
A discipline, you know, like when you wake up in the morning and that little voice in your head's like, oh, just stay in bed 5 more minutes, you know, you got this. And we can make it up later. We'll just skip the walk and stuff like that.
Yep.
That voice gets diminished because when you're about to step into a cold shower, that voice is a lot louder.
It's your focus.
That's, yeah, yeah. It's a lot louder.
Get ready.
So
get ready.
The
get
moment
ready.
That you can take control of that voice and you own it, the weaker that voice gets over you. So the ability to step into a cold shower and stay in a cold shower, you gain power.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's not fun. I don't enjoy it at all. I have to hype myself up for it. And I guess like I'm staying accountable to people about doing it every single day. Like people go, I look forward to your shower videos.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to start like a private Snapchat or something and start making money from it.
Oh, I think you've got enough hustles going without going down that line. Mate, one of the exciting things you've done is you created an entrepreneur club via social. A lot of people you're talking to, you went the next step and you said, let's just talk motivational shit. Like you've got your account, which is motivational, but it's your life.
Yeah.
And you've created the Entrepreneur Club Apparel.
Yeah.
That's an Insta account.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily about creating apparel. It was about creating a community of people that are like-minded. Like I said, that artificial environment, I'm going to keep harping on it because it's something that I really, really push. I think it's really important, especially for people who don't have people around them who are out there trying to achieve things.
Yep.
So it was about creating that artificial environment that, you know, one day when you can walk down the streets and you see someone wearing that shirt, you just automatically know what that person's like and you can just go up and spark a conversation and, you know, people wear it with pride.
Yeah,
you know,
nice.
They go in there, like, I am an entrepreneur, I am hustling, I am grinding, I'm doing what it takes to be out there and be accountable. So I guess it's like a little bit of pride and a little bit of community as well.
Yeah, man, I've read quite a few of your reposts from guys that come in and go, mate, you've changed my life, you've done this, I've got a promotion now, I took the time to change what I was doing and ask, could I do this and could I do that? Because you often talk about people, you don't ask, you don't, I hear you talk about, tell people what you're thinking a lot. Is that something big to you? Like,
seeing
don't hide
those
your
messages,
emotions?
I think it's going to be real with people, and I think that's what we lack in this community.
Yep.
I think we're building around like a snowflake generation where we just tiptoe around the truth and stuff like that, and you can't be real with people, especially being like a manager and being in the corporate world. You know, people surely tiptoe around the truth to save people feelings. But
and you're a cheeky bastard, like you told one of your supervisors the other day during the challenge, are you happy when you look in the mirror or something?
Yeah, like I literally just walked up to him, I'm like, pretty much I said, like, you gotta have a hard look at yourself. I'm like, when you go home and stuff like that and you look in the mirror, are you happy with the person you are? And I guess like that's just the person. He laughed, but you know, like I know that he went home and he really had a hard think about that. I think it's really important to do that. Like we can't tiptoe around people telling the truth. I think if you really care about someone, you need to tell them exactly how it is, not just tell them that things are going to be okay and you're fine the way you are. If something's wrong, I think you should just tell someone.
Well, I guess through the army and the prison, you didn't learn to sugarcoat shit, did you? Like it was,
no.
This is the way we're going to do it and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, like it's like I've got many stories of the army where I definitely got brought into line and got told exactly how it was. Like there's times where I failed in the army. And that hurt a lot. I had a lot of pride. I was 17. I was pretty green. You know, I'd never failed at something in my life at that point. I remember there was like a driving test I had to do where I had to drive a truck in the city. I actually remember failing. It was the worst because I've always been a confident person. So to fail in front of a lot of my peers at that time, like that actually crushed my soul.
Yeah.
Like it actually hurt. I actually cried in front of people. Those little lessons along the way have really brought me back down to earth and really humbled me, I guess.
Did you eventually get to drive a truck in the army?
Yeah. Yeah. I drove and I passed.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the thing, you know, when you do fail, as much as it hurts, you just got to keep going and get back up and move forward.
Mate, you're really passionate about mental health. You talk about it a lot through your Insta. You talk about it a lot through the groups of people you talk with. Why is mental health so important to you?
I think mental health's a massive thing for me because I can relate to a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm real. I don't jump into a suit and tell these people like this feel good story. You know, like a lot of the stuff I talk about is through my own personal experiences, you know, being out of home since I'm 17 and living across Australia, for a lot of this, I've been alone. So I haven't really had that support network. So I can understand and reach out to people that are alone and going through this and just show them that there is light through that. So I guess like the mental health thing really resonates with me because I understand it's just more than what people just put out there and what we are seeing through the Are You Okay campaigns and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I know I was first drawn to you from your social via David Rockhard in relation to you put out a post about a body science product. product, which I loved, of course. And you were talking about the negativity on social media and how people use it as keyboard warriors to put out negative, like not supporting mates, not saying great work, not saying good job, not saying love this, not even liking stuff. You were very verbal at one stage about people not even liking things. Like, why the fuck do you follow my Instagram if you don't want to like it? Like, stop telling me DMs and I'm an asshole. Like, you were pretty public about that when most people are going, shit, let's just Instagram, take it easy, just walk nicely.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people like... I guess there's an expectation that you have to maintain this certain figure or statue within, I think, society. And I think that, like, everyone's pushing this fake shit about you have to look a certain way, you have to drive this certain car, and you have to wear this fancy suit, or you have to do this certain product this way. And there's just an expectation. And I think that when you start being real and you start telling people what it actually is rather than fucking holiday here, holiday there, fancy cafe here, I think people get a little bit butthurt about that. But, you know, I'd rather be out there telling people exactly how it is than being another fake person on Instagram saying follow this.
So you're also working on another project. I mean, you're 23, you're pretty busy. You're working on a project called Welcome to Hell, and obviously you can't let too much go on that because it's something coming up, but who wants to create something called Welcome to Hell?
Man, like, this is a really good question and something that obviously ties into what I want to do with my journey and everything that's kind of led up to this point here. It's about changing lives. So Welcome Hell is taking ordinary people and making them into extraordinary people, essentially.
Mm-hmm. In a blender, in a lift, what are you doing?
So I put a lot out there, and a lot of it's under wraps, exactly what I kind of say.
You're going to take people off site and you're going to hang out with them for a couple of days doing some cool shit.
So we take people away for 22 hours into the complete unknown. We remove all control that they have over expectations, and we really push the barriers of mental resilience to really drive deep into what drives these people, what keeps these people going. And, you know, I think through this experience, people really get an understanding of who they are, because a lot of the stuff that we do, people will not be exposed to. You know, I've got some really good people on board that have worked with Special Forces and run the selection course over there. I've got people who currently train corrections and have served over in Afghanistan. So I've got a really good network of instructors for this course. And the stuff that we put together is the first of its kind in Australia, and I'd say probably the world. And what we do is we really do push people to the absolute limit to see what they're truly made of. And at the end, they can walk away and know that they can accomplish whatever they want.
Nice. Mate, obviously there's a whole lot of outside of logistics and making things happen. There's a lot of legal issues and a lot of things you got to remember. When's this thing coming to play?
So I've got a course launching on the 29th and the 30th. And yeah, exactly of November.
Wow.
So
how do people have a look at that if they want to join it?
So there's an Instagram page, obviously welcometohell.aus. Mm-hmm. So that's on Instagram. Obviously you can jump onto my Instagram and you'll see me talking about it every single day. And
do you want to drop your Insta for people out there that don't know it?
Yeah, of course. So @_DylanJa. So DYLANJA_. Jump on my page, even send me a message if you want and can redirect you.
So anyone who wants to be welcome to hell, get on board with that one. That's a big one.
Definitely.
Mate, I'd like to step backwards a bit to the Healthy Tradie program again.
Yeah.
So why do you even care as a young guy who's, obviously you're a health and safety advisor.
Yeah.
And that's probably more a protocol based health and safety. Like you're looking at don't do this, don't do that, like high vis, got the right boots on, like the basics.
Yeah, so I think that's everyone's perception. A lot of everyone's perception is like health and safety is this policeman walking around, don't do this, don't do that, you know, yelling at people and stuff like that. But the way I look at it is behavioral based safety. So understanding why people are doing what they're doing, you know, so not just necessarily going out there and saying, why aren't you wearing your bloody hard hat? Why aren't you wearing a harness when working at heights and all this kind of stuff? You get to understand the behavioral side of things, you know, and might not necessarily be that they're doing the wrong thing, but it might be that procedure might not be relevant to those scope of works in that area. So it's a lot more than just going out there and policing people and stuff like that, which I think a lot of people fail at. So I focus on the behavioral based side of safety.
I like that. Cause I mean, obviously when things go wrong on the site you're talking about, it's death, it's major injury.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess like when you start looking at complex lifts and all this kind of stuff with high risk construction work, a lot of things can definitely go wrong, and you really got to zone in and you really got to understand the scope of works and what truly can go wrong and assess those risks accordingly.
And part of that with your Healthy Tradie program, I mean, obviously you're talking diet, swaps, lifestyle. I think, why did you go down this path? Like, I'd like to dig deep on why you actually did that.
It's about creating a culture.
Yeah.
I think a culture is a massive thing within a workplace. You know, I've been on jobs where you go to work and people drinking energy drink, eating pies at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you see these people, they're just broken down, they're worn down, they're tired. And when you have that environment, when you're surrounded by that environment, it's just toxic. pessimistic and negative. Like, you speak to many people in construction, that's pretty much what they'll see at 7 o'clock in the morning. But if you take a shift on that and you create this culture, suddenly you've got people coming in, telling them the stories about going home and being excited about their family, being on board with the journey as well. And everyone's coming excited, being positive, being happy to come to work. You know, we've got stretches after pre-starts where we've got like a whole bunch of construction men just sitting there doing stretches together, and we all take turns on who's going to run those stretches as well.
Yep, nice.
So it's about creating that community. Excellent. And about building that culture.
How does a 23-year-old bodybuilder, fair bit of artwork on the body as well, get taken seriously by, you're talking big companies, so you're talking 50 and 60-year-old guys that are leading the way for this company. How do you actually make an impact? Because let's be honest, if I was running a $6 billion job, and I'm guessing that's
not far off, yeah,
type of number that it's at, and a 23-year-old bodybuilder came up to me and started telling me that we should all get fit and healthy, I'd probably look him in the eyes and go, yeah, you're a great kid, can you fuck off? You know, in my head.
Yeah.
So honestly, how did you get around that?
It took me a long time. And I guess you build respect over time. I think it's with anything, no matter how old you are. I think what you bring to the table is the value. Obviously, people have an underlying opinion of you because you are younger. You do have a couple of tattoos and stuff like that.
The youth of today have created a culture of what they are. Like, it's
People getting face tattoos and earrings and stuff like that. And for people that are in their 50s and 60s, you know, like, that was so frowned upon.
Mm.
But as a culture, as a society, we are developing and changing. You know, you could bring it back to, you know, the acceptance of diverse genders and stuff like that in the workplace. Like, as we get out there, people are changing, the world changing, society's changing, and we as a whole are changing. So I get
what you're saying there as a young guy, and sorry for cutting you off. I'm 50, so that's my job to cut you off, obviously. I apologize for that, but I want to know how you broke through the barriers with these older guys who, obviously, when you're 50 at a role, you've been doing it a long time, you've got a fair idea and a fair lot of knowledge, and what you're talking about, these wellness programs, is new in the world of corporate. Yeah. So what did you do to break down those barriers for a large company to suddenly think, oh, this is probably a good idea?
I think leading by example, for one. When you lead by example, people have a lot more respect for you. When you tell someone something and they don't listen to your advice, and you were right, you can go back and say, I fucking told you. Mm. That kind of gets you the respect.
Yeah, that's probably not going to work real well, the 50-year-old though.
So I guess.
So you just stayed on the game.
I educated myself about a subject. Yeah. And if I didn't know what I was talking about, I'd just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They try and have an opinion on everything. But if you don't know what you're talking about, don't open your mouth, because without you realizing it, the moment you start commenting on things you don't actually know about, you lose a lot of respect from people. So it was a matter of educating myself around what I needed to know, making comments where I could have value and input.
Really interesting. I was talking to our sales team this week, and there's some new data coming out that the average sales process is like 13 calls to make a new sale. So back when I started years ago, it was like 3, and we used to succeed because we did 4. You know what I mean? And a lot of people give up after 1 or 2. Oh, that didn't go well. I'll walk away from that. Mate, how many times did you have to knock on that door in your role as a 23-year-old guy knocking on 50-year-old doors going, mate, just because you're unfit doesn't mean we all should be. And, you know, our mental health's important, and this is happening. We all need to train. Gee, let's start a basketball team, or I want to start a fitness challenge. Surely these guys are going, holy fuck, how many ideas has this guy got? And how many times did you knock on that door to make that happen?
I still knock on that door.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. Obviously, being in a large workforce that we do have, there's all these new people coming in, new faces. So it's about building those relationships, and you build a reputation for yourself. So like I said, when you make comments on things that are valid and you bring value to the table, you build a reputation around, and it's a very small industry, so people do speak. So when they hear about you and they hear about the good things you're doing, over time, that will definitely develop. And, you know, when you surround yourself around supervisors that help push those kind of initiatives, you know, like one of the construction managers that brought on the idea about the basketball team, and he really pushed it. So like, it's about working together with like-minded individuals and, again, building that reputation and knocking on the right doors. Obviously, there's doors you can't knock on.
And that's a big thing too, because it's really hard to walk into an upline, because everyone's got managerial structures on the way up. We've created this hierarchy in business that, you know, you report to them and they report to you. You're like, obviously, you're 23, so you're not sitting at the top of the pile of decision makers and forward thinkers in the company. I'm trying to get out of you. How many times did you knock as a guy that just wanted to make change before someone actually went, okay, let's listen to this young guy because he's actually got some facts?
Sometimes I just risk it to get the biscuit.
Yeah.
I guess. I just fucking do it. And then if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. So that 10-week challenge, I didn't actually tell anyone I was going to do it. I just fucking did it.
Yeah.
And it worked out well. And everyone was like, this is a great idea. Like, oh, can we do it project-wide? I'm like, we'll do it as a trial here. And then,
Even your greens thing that you presented to 350, 400 people. Like, what?
Initiative. You just got to go out there and just got to fucking do something. If you want to change something, you have to do it. You can't just sit there and ask people all these questions, and people respect you more when you go out there and you try these new things. Or
and how did you get the time to stop? Because obviously on a big job, when you bring people together for your lunchbox meetings or whatever it is you were having at that day, that you're talking massive dollars. You got, what'd you have, 300 people in a room.
Yeah.
You know, all being paid wages, all on the books. And then you got up and presented something and then got everyone to do a taste test. And you talked to, I know we put a greens book and you talked about greens and all that. Like, how did you get that over the line? Like, you're 23, mate. Like, this is what I'm trying to get out of you. I don't want to hear about the hustle and this.
I've got really good, like, I've got a good manager who backs me 100%.
And he was sick of hearing you. Like, how many times have you hit this guy before, like, you got this going? That's what I'm trying to get out of you. Like,
it's just really, I don't know.
Youth needs to understand this, mate. It doesn't happen overnight. Like, you didn't walk in and go, I want to do a greens taste tomorrow to 300 people. And he's gone, oh, yeah, let's do it.
I've got a reputation for being like a man full of energy, bouncing around the office with all these ideas. And I just started doing shit. And that's the essence of it. I did shit. It paid off. I got a good response. And when you start doing this on a day-to-day basis and you take the initiative, just because it's not your job role, your job description doesn't mean that you only operate within those boundaries. When you go outside of what you're paid to do, I always say you're paid for your value, not your time.
Yep.
So if you're going out there and you're doing initiatives and you're putting in the extra hours, like, there's days that I stay back 4 hours after work, you know, or like I'd stay in back and I'd be the last one leaving the office.
Yeah.
So yes, there is sacrifice to get these things across the line, but when people see that you're putting in the energy and effort and they respect you, they'll back you. And it's about making them look good as well. So
absolutely, if
you can bring something to the table where you make your bosses look good and it's not just your idea, it's a team's idea, as I said, that community, you're going to get more people across the line. So you'll influence a lot more decision making when you make it either their idea or a team idea.
Nice. So at 23, you got to cop one on the chin occasionally just to get something over the line. That was a great idea, boss.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it worked. It's a law of power.
Yeah.
You know, I've read a book about it, and there's a lot of different laws out there. So you never undermine your boss. And if you can make your boss look good and you get pay rise.
Yeah, nice. Hey? Nice, I like it. Mate, one of the things that you've really enjoyed in your life and you've got this hustle entrepreneur thing going is Dr. Craig Duncan and his journaling. You're a massive journaler.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important.
I know you are. I did try to do the challenge me on things like, oh, Greg, what's your deathbed scorecard look like? And
It's really, really, like, at first it was something I really struggled with.
Some of the questions in there make you think about yourself, don't they?
They do make you think about yourself. It wasn't until I had a boss who really kind of drummed into me. He kind of like was like, where are you at? What do you got to do? And I couldn't really give him anything. So yeah, it was a big shout out to my boss, Rob.
Yeah.
He kind of really instilled that into me that I start doing the journal. And then obviously after doing that for a while, I come across Dr. Craig Duncan's 100X book. And you know, I love what he puts in there about the sudden realization of how precious life is and death is a reality. And I think that's where people get lost. You know, you see a lot of people get to their 50s and 60s and they go, what the fuck have I done with my life? And I definitely don't want to be that person. So I guess for me, that's been an important part of taking control and really being accountable for my time. So that's where the journal ties in. I'm actually really tracking through what I'm doing. And, you know, I've got a whiteboard at home where I track my every single hour of the day down to the dot. Yeah, so.
And you were telling me that, and shout out to Sarah, like you were telling me that you actually schedule half an hour with her every day.
Yeah, and it sounds really bad.
When you explain this, I just want people to stop and think and have a little pop moment here. It's actually really clever what you're about to say.
Yeah, so I actually got this idea for one of my good friends, Jamal, and it's where I sat down and really assessed my own relationship and actually asked, do I actually spend time with my partner? And it was actually a question that he asked me. And I said, yeah, I do. And then he's like, do you spend time cooking or cleaning or on your phone? I'm like, I actually had like a big think about it. And that was essentially the only time we actually spent together.
You always had a job or something to do.
It was something busy, to do. Actually one-on-one focused time with no distractions where we actually sit there and actually have in-depth conversations about life and what we think about, you know. And that's one thing we do in our walk, you know. I'll be walking and I'll ask her, what is she grateful for today?
Yeah.
You know, and it's when you actually have these conversations with your partner, you actually understand a lot about them and the way they process information and their perception on life, you know. So you really get a big understanding into who your partner actually is, because the conversations you have is not revolved around social media or work or just cooking and cleaning and just getting the average household stuff done.
It's living.
It's living. It's actually being in the moment and making the time. And things do come up, and that half an hour does get shut. So don't hold me to that, because Sarah will be like, there's times where you don't give that half an hour. But yeah, life does get in the way. But
she can't get off the couch at the moment anyway.
Yeah, no, she can't. Right, so
you'll be good.
It's about making a conscious effort and actually understanding that you need to make time. And I think it's really important, you know, people who have kids to make that time where it's one-on-one and they just have half an hour just to say, hey, how's things going? What are you thinking about? You know, I don't think that people actually do that. So I think it's really important that everyone just takes a step back and spends quality time.
Mate, I really love that, because we were all talking before we started the podcast and everyone's going, oh yeah, I went to dinner last night and there were 11 people we were out with and 10 of them were on their phones. And somebody else said, oh yeah, I went to breakfast this morning, everyone was on their phones. And you know, even in down in the lunchroom, like, people are on their phones, and we've really stopped giving each other time. We're giving people more time in another way, but we're not giving them personal time. We're just giving people time that has no reward apart from a like or whatever. Like,
100%.
And that's really interesting that someone at your age would go, I'm going to schedule half an hour for my partner.
Yeah.
It's made me think today. I've sat back and thought, fuck, I need to get my shit together too. Hope Sheree's not listening to this podcast.
So definitely.
Might have to start scheduling some time. I just need a nicer word than schedule.
Yeah, it does sound horrible. And I think when I actually put that whiteboard up. Well, exactly. I put that whiteboard up and I actually had a few people message me like, that's actually horrible that you'd only give your partner half an hour. But when you go through and you actually explain that, I do spend time with her outside of that, but that
heaps of time, but
that half an hour is just solely one-on-one, you know, no distractions, no cooking, no cleaning, just us two living in the moment.
Yeah, mate, I love that. That's probably a really nice way to tap out of this podcast, I think. Before we do, I've got one more thing for you, and this is for all the tradies out there. Tell us what a day in a healthy tradie should look like.
So that's a hard question.
I know, mate.
Day in the life of a healthy tradie.
Yeah.
I think, again, I'm going to touch back on the community. Mm-hmm. So it's about who you're around, you know, coming into work, being positive, being happy, you know, being physical as well, you know, it's a massive part of a lot of these guys' role. So having that mobility, and I think when we start looking at it and diving into it a little bit deeper with the diet side of things, these guys are able to go home and not only have energy for work, but have energy for the family and stuff as well, and come back in with a positive attitude, not going home at the end of the day and just crashing out on the couch or having a sore back or being unfit and not being able to kick the ball with their kids. So I think that's the essence of the healthy tradie, is to create this culture that we're not just construction workers that go to the servo and eat pies and drink all these drinks that are filled with sugars. We're actually going out there, we're working hard, we're looking after ourselves, and we go home and put the same energy and effort into our family as well.
Well, mate, I hope your healthy tradie program explodes. I think it's a great initiative by you and your company. Do you want to shout out to your employer?
So obviously the Southern Program Alliance down there. So obviously it's a joint venture between Common Rail, Acciona, and Lendlease.
Yep.
So we'll come on board together as a joint venture to hopefully deliver many more packages.
Forward thinking companies. I love hearing it. Beautiful. I love it. Enjoy, mate. Thanks for coming up. I really appreciate your time. Anytime. Before you go, what are you thankful for today?
Oh, being here, I think. Being in here in the moment with a legend like yourself.
Ah, you're a funny bastard. I did love it though. Thanks, mate. That was really good chatting. I think a lot of people enjoy that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Game over. Thanks, kids. So, Dylan, today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.